Good to see you all here. Glad you came. Pentecost is one of the feast days that we oftentimes overlook and don't give it the understanding we should have. Okay. There's one thing I want to point out. In today's society, Pentecost usually means somebody speaking in a foreign tongue. It's often followed up by another Pentecostal persuasion. Usually a woman who volunteers to interpret the message, but is generally off track. Such as years ago, a Jewish exchange student gave the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew. Interpretation was a message of doom and gloom. Thank you so much. I want to read from the book of Haggai, and the speaker there speaks what Yahweh has to say. Haggai 1, verses 2 to 5. Yahweh says, the time is not come, the time that Yahweh's house will be built. Then came the word of Yahweh by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house of Yahweh lies waste? Now therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Here we have Yahweh giving after the people because they are living in finished houses. Yahweh still travels around in a tent. Second Samuel 5, verses 7 to 9. Here's another one. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word of any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, Israel, why build me not a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shall you say unto my servant David. David is told to build to build the tabernacle. What is interesting here is that we've just celebrated with the Israelites, the Jews, to a day of Pentecost. But the Jews are glad that it's over. It's been 60 years since they started. And as Yahweh says, why don't you build me a house? I have to walk around in a old tent. So anyway, what I want to do is go into some of these. Besides the weekly Sabbath throughout the year, Yahweh has anchored his special annual feast days to the growing crops in Israel. Yahweh controls the weather, thus the maturing of crops is in his hand. Israel's calendar is based on the growing crops in the Holy Land. The vernal equinox and the horoscope has nothing to do with Yahweh's calendar. Deuteronomy 16, we read, three times in a year shall all the males appear before Yahweh at thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose. And then he gives us the Feast of Unleavened Bread in verse 16, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before me empty. The feast days are all connected in one way with each other. The feast days start out with Pentecost as being a special time for Yahweh's people. Shortly after his resurrection, Yahshua told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem where they would be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. He was actually referring to the coming Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which event would change the worship of Yahweh for all time. Peter and the other apostles were observing Pentecost while teaching the message of Yahshua and his resurrection from the dead. There came the outpouring of Yahweh's Holy Spirit and the miracles, and the people asked what they could do. They were scared. And we find Peter's response was, the called out ones referred to as the church became a fledgling of the New Testament first fruits. You'll notice that the first fruits are already talking about a harvest. What the people were wondering was, what can they do now? Because they've apparently goofed up on getting Yahweh's tabernacle done. and wondered what they should do. Well, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples now remembered what Yahshua said, and they were gathered together at the temple courts in obedience to Yahweh's command. In Acts 1 and verses 4 to 5, we read this, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. The disciples are meeting in the temple. And there would no longer be animal sacrifices required. No more animal, sheep, goats, or meeting in the temple courts. Meeting in the temple courts as a gathering place. A decided change was coming over the assembled disciples. There would no longer be needed sacrifices. And Peter told them to repent and be baptized into Yahshua's name, and they would be given the Holy Spirit. When Yahweh's mighty power came to earth at Pentecost, following Yahshua's resurrection, the people realized that this was something greatly different now taking place. Yahshua had paid the price for mankind's sins, and the Spirit would remain on earth and be available to those striving to walk in the footsteps of Messiah. Sacrifices and temple offerings came to an end. The set-apart Spirit would remain on earth. The Apostle Paul would refer to this change as a mystery. A mystery, making the Spirit now available to baptized brethren of the assembly. In Ephesians 3, verse 3, we read how that by revelation, Paul says, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words hereby. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Messiah, which in other ages was not made known unto the sorts of men as it now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I think a lot of times people don't realize the benefits and the good things we have coming to us on this side of Yahshua's resurrection. Because now we will have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Before that, the Spirit would work with people like Samson, become strong, do mighty works, tear animals apart with his bare hands, and now we find that the Spirit was given to him, and he pulled the pillars out from under the tent, tabernacle, and they all died. He died along with us. Before times when Yahweh's Spirit would come upon certain ones, he chose to accomplish his goal, and that was removed in such a way. When the task was carried out. And excuse my the followers of Yahshua understood one can approach Yahweh directly through his son Yahshua, because where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of the people. Those who are properly baptized in his name are given the Holy Spirit to indwell them. The Spirit will guide them into all truth. However, lack of attention, the Spirit can be quenched or squelched. Sometimes that happens. The Spirit's available. Not everybody thinks it's proper to call on Yahweh's Spirit. But I want you to notice what Peter tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, read there, Peter writes, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to Yahweh by Yahshua Messiah. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The temple in Jerusalem no longer exists, and it was really given examples of repository of the set-apart spirit that exists today. We learn from Paul that Yahweh's Spirit is to be found in a true believer who is baptized into Yahshua's name. So what does someone do if they want to have some spiritual help? Who do they go to today? No priesthood in Jerusalem. No priesthood at all. Or they have some people that do some work. But you'll notice that Paul says to the people in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, "Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of Yahweh is holy, which temple you are." In chapter 6, Paul again says, "What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of Yahweh and are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6:19. And again, Paul reminds us physical body is actually the beginning, start, where Yahweh's work to be done in us. The beginning of the ecclesia took place after took place on Pentecost after Messiah's resurrection. He had paid the price to the Spirit to allow the Spirit to remain on earth. The Old Testament gave Israel a covenant law, which the New Testament shows that to keep the law by having Yahweh's Spirit within us. Acts 2.41 reveals there were 3,000 baptized at a Pentecost day, and the apostles continued to perform miracles. Sometimes we wonder if what Yahweh is doing and seek more of the truth and learn what is going to be happening. Excuse me. Sorry for the interruption. The Holy Spirit is here to stay. And I do believe that, as I mentioned before, that the time that this happened, think of this, a woman would be subject to her husband. He would go to the synagogue or temple and worship, and maybe take his wife along. But that was up to her. She had to do what he said. You'll not notice even the seller of purple in the New Testament, the book of Acts. She was baptized. Did we have a baptism before Pentecost? I don't know. None is recorded. A woman is given more freedom, more responsibility, can do more now than she ever could before. And you'll notice in the book of Acts, they kind of wonder what's going on. And Peter would tell them that the book of Acts tells the story of what the people are finally understood. Anyway, Paul began his work and continued to do the work that he could. But having been born as we are after Yahshua rose again from the dead, I think sometimes we ought to look at the benefits that have occurred to us. And that's the way it's presented. Some people think that everything is going to be beautiful, but until that time, we may have some problems. Well, I thank you for bearing with me.
Today, as many have mentioned, is Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Feast of First Fruits. Each of those names have important meaning, significance in the day that we are honoring today through Yahweh. The word Pentecost appears a few times in the New Testament only, because it did not exist in the Old Testament as Pentecost. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek, Pentecoste. It is derived from other words, which are derived from other words, all the way down to the Greek number 5, pente. And building up the other way, pente, a word derived from pente is, I'm not sure what the right pronunciation, so I'll just say it's called a multiplicative of 5, namely 50. And that's why we refer to the word Pentecost as meaning count 50. But something interesting I found in using PC Study Bible is that they have a gross error amongst others, because in the explanation of that Greek word Pentecoste in PC Study Bible, it says that they start counting, guess where? The day after Passover. And it's surprising, there are people who are of sacred name belief that follow that path. And the scripture contradicts that quite openly and specifically, as we'll see. So it is important that we know exactly how to establish when to celebrate Pentecost. We find out in the Old Testament, if we open to Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16, we read there, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye bring the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh." So So in verse 15, the word Sabbath is the Hebrew pronunciation again, Sabbath. It is not in recognition of a high Sabbath, because that is pronounced, I believe, Sabbathon. And this is where people believe that that word Sabbath in verse 15 is the high day, and it's not the high day. So the day after the Sabbath, they have the wave sheaf offering. And we find out that even in the New Testament, when Yahshua sacrificed his life, that on the weekly Sabbath is when he arose from the dead and prevented anybody from touching him in order for his ascension to Yahweh to have his sacrifice approved. And that's the wave sheaf offering. In verse 15 in Leviticus says, you shall count from the morrow after the Sabbath seven Sabbaths, and they shall be complete. So that means specifically at Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, it should be celebrated on the first day of the group, as we call Sunday, which is not S-O-N. So it's important that we recognize exactly when we are to celebrate, because if we don't celebrate at the correct time, we are not honoring Yahweh and praising Him. We have to do what He says us to do. In going back to the book of Exodus, chapter 19, what I want to attempt to do is to show the significance of Pentecost besides being the 50th day as prescribed. In Exodus chapter 19, the first two verses we read, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. That's before Mount Sinai, in the third month. There's a big variety of some of the words used in that verse, in the third month. And I found a version which, of course, helps me explain what I want to explain, but to clarify it, because some concordances or some commentaries will say that this that represents the first day of the month. But in order to realize exactly what significance Pentecost has in the Old Testament times, we have to delve into what actually is meant there. And the one version which explains it the way I interpret it is the today's English version, which says, the people of Israel left Rephidim on the first day of the third month after they had left the Egypt, on the first day of the third month. When I read that, it didn't explain what I had. That's what all versions of the today's version say, that they left the first day of the first month. But what we need to understand is what important event occurred in the Old Testament times, which would be parallel to the importance of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. And I think you're all know what I'm pointing to or leading towards, because in verse 2 that the Israelites camped in front of Mount Sinai. If we were to count the we know when the Israelites left Egypt, basically the 15th. And if we proceed to the first uh of the third month. If we count the approximate number of days until then, well, the first month we have 15 days left. The second month we have 30 days. That means 45 days we reach the first day of the third month. And what the scriptures also tell us, when the Israelites reached Mount Sinai, that Moses made numerous trips up that mountain. I often wondered how high that mountain really is, because they speak of him going to the top of the mountain. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 7. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto Yahweh, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came down and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded him. So on the first day that they got there, Moses was told that he's supposed to go up to the mount, and Yahweh would speak to him. So this would be, if we count approximately, day number 46. Day number 46. So he had to go down then and tell the elders, tell the people what he was told. And if we go to Exodus 19, verses 8 through 13, continuing on there with Moses is going up to the mount. Verse 8, Exodus 19, we read, And all the people answered together and said, All that Yahweh hath spoken, we will do. How many times did they say that? And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people, or told the words of the people unto the Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them that today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Verse 11, And be ready against the third day. For the third day Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. And verse 13, There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpets sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. So, going back, we are told that this is Moses' second ascent to the top of the mount. In verse 11, Moses was to tell the people to get ready for the third day, because then Yahweh would come and speak to them. So in day 47 is the time of Moses is going up and coming down and telling the people, be ready for the third day. So the day 48, and just numbering, would be the first day. But of course, we could go and talk about why they should wash their clothes, but because that was ceremoniously to cleanse themselves, in preparation to meet Yahweh. So the first of those 3 days is day 48. The second of those 3 days is 49. And the third day, which they are to prepare because Yahweh would come and talk to them, is the 50th day. So the significance of what Yahweh did at that point of time was to speak the law to Moses to give to the people, because the people didn't want to hear Yahweh talk to them because it's so, I suppose, nerve-wracking and loud and ear-piercing. We can only imagine, but I think it's quite clear that the people didn't want to hear Yahweh talk to them. So Yahweh talked to Moses, and Moses came down. Well, we know things that happened. And the third day was a day which the law was to be given from Yahweh through Moses to the children of Israel. So the idea there that because after the wave-sheaf offering, it took 50 days from then, counting that day, in which Yahweh would talk to the people. And that's parallels to the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chapter which follows chapter 19 is the chapter 20, which is the Ten Commandments. So you can see what Yahweh did tell Moses to relay to the people, the law, the importance and significance of the law. Of course, prior to this time, going back to Leviticus, chapter 23. Beginning with verse, continuing on where we ended up, Leviticus 23, verse 9. We read there, verse 9 of Leviticus 23, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yahweh, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savor, and a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, a fourth part of a hin." Verse 14, "And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And verse 15, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath," which we've read before, dealing with the day of Pentecost. So, since the day of Pentecost, or the wave sheaf offering, could not be given while they were wandering the desert, they had to wait until they crossed the River Jordan in order to obtain that wave sheaf offering. So the ideas presented to us with or dealing with Pentecost began after they crossed the River Jordan, because during the 40 years they did not have a chance to raise any crops. So there's the initiation of the celebration of Pentecost after they crossed the River Jordan, so that they were able to obtain that wave offering that is required, which was required and given to us when Yahshua, the ultimate wave sheaf offering was given when he died and rose and presented himself, and his action of giving up his life as a wave sheaf offering. And we remember that when he returned and visited people, they did not recognize him until he told them who he was. And of course, the story goes later on, Doubting Thomas did not recognize, or would not recognize, that he was arisen until he was able to touch the scars of the nails. So It is important that we really understand the significance of Pentecost, how it was originated in Old Testament times and progressed, as we read there, is to be celebrated throughout all generations. I've often tried to figure out how many generations have existed from then until now, and it's mathematically, what do they say, 20 years for each? But it's quite a few generations. But the time difference, or the time specified some in some scripture, about 1,000 generations, will never expire before time runs out. That's it. Elder Mansavage talked about the New Testament usages of Holy Spirit that initiated by the followers of Yahshua spending time, and where the wind came and the cloven tongues of fire rested on people's heads. And even though the people there were from numerous different countries, nobody understood the person next to him, but each of them understood what was being said. So we know the power of the Holy Spirit was present then. And also we are told that Old Testament times, only the Holy Spirit was given to selected individuals for certain reasons, to cause a certain event to occur. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given and promised. If we are immersed into Yahshua's name, then as Acts 2:38 says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I imagine there are some who believe that when it says that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can certainly not imagine that we would receive all the power that is available, because I don't think we could stand it. It'd be too overwhelming for us. But the Holy Spirit that is given and was initiated on Pentecost to be given to people in general, if they follow the Bible, that it is only a small part, but it is promised to those who follow His Word to allow them to overcome the wiles of Satan. Even though we know that, we have to remember that even though Yahshua, when he went back, according to the women, too late because Lazarus had already passed away, that there's a purpose of everything that goes on, and not what humankind, us, we want to happen. We have to rely on faith of what Yahshua did for us, and the Spirit that is given to us if we obey Yahweh's word. We have to have faith that Yahweh's will be done, and certainly not ours, that if Yahweh wants something to happen, it will. If He doesn't, it won't. Not like we. If we want something to happen, we want it, but we don't get it all the time. We have to be patient, because patience is a virtue that is given to men who follow Yahweh's word. The purpose of Pentecost, I hope that Yahweh's will be done, and its significance that was given, that His Holy Spirit is given to allow mankind to better deal with Satan. It is the last of the three high days which have been fulfilled. We have waiting for the last four to be fulfilled, which appears in the ninth month, seventh month, usually our ninth month. But we want, and we should pray, that whatever we say and do is of significance to Yahweh and not to us, because our will not be done. It is Yahweh's will, and may He be with us to accomplish what He wants us to do. Hallelujah.